سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to everyone in the gallery. Alhamdulillah, you all are benefited by joining together there in Chicago. And inshallah, all those who are listening to this podcast later or live on site. Salam to everyone, inshallah. I hope everyone is doing well. Bismillah. I wanted to start off with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Al-anasu min Allahi wa al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan," that calmness and patient deliberation is from Allah and haste is from the shaytan. Now sometimes we apply this in the wrong context. It's meant for things, for instance, if we take, if Sidi Tariq obliges his example in terms of the job offer in Jeddah, whether to take such a thing or not, or to move, these kinds of things are what this is about, to have calmness and patient deliberation there. And as to mean Allah, but as well as to mean a shaitan, and then haste is from shaitan. So, but sometimes we apply it in the wrong places. For instance, and this is when shaitan comes in between and tries to deceive us when we want to do something good. Let's say we want to, we know a brother or someone, a friend who's sick, and you want to make something, take some time out and take over to them. This is something we shouldn't put off, because you know that time is fleeting and it's not going to stay there. It's an opportunity only for that time, encapsulated for you for that temporary time. And so you especially nowadays when we have so many people that are ill, and you want to get to them quickly, you just go with it, inshallah, and you want to take over the chicken soup right away. Because we know shaitan is going to try to come in between and say, no, you know, the weather is going to get worse later. Obviously, there are those conditions to consider. But if everything else is clear, then we should just go for it. Because we have no idea which of these actions that we're doing that we're actually accruing intense benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the looks of it, from what the ulama of the past have reported, it's these minor things that we underestimate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases manifold for us the rewards, because it's done with pure sincerity. So the more sincere we are in these actions, the more rewards we're accruing. And almost in all these instances, we do these things naturally, and some people, mashallah, have more of this kind of nature. So they might be underestimating themselves when they do these kinds of things, how much rewards they're accruing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because generally we thought that we're just getting rewards from our ibadah that is quantifiable, for instance, the prayers, extra prayers, and so on. Obviously, we're talking about things beyond the fard ayn. But it's really those acts of sincerity, utter and pure sincerity that just comes straight from the heart, that garner the most rewards for us. And I wanted to look at into a little bit of an example of how the ulama are and how they're so vastly different from the vast majority of us who have not been exposed to the ulama. This is why we melt before them. We can look at it and digest and make analyses of how they're different. For instance, I mentioned recently that book, Talent is Overrated, by Colvin. Now, he says something really that's very remarkable in there. And it does try to digest how these people that succeed in life and attain the intense talent that they have, how they attained it. And as I said, the whole point is that he's saying talent, it's not really the talent, it's effort that they put into it. So he says this one line in trying to decipher what is the basic difference between the vast majority of these people who succeed. And of course, he's looking at the dunyawi realm. But it actually applies in almost all these cases. to really look at those who are attaining success for the hereafter, inshallah ta'ala. So he said that creative people are focused on the task at hand, how I can solve this problem, not themselves. And that is the difference. They, for instance, they don't think, what can solving this problem do for me? They're not in it for a nafsi thing. They're motivated intrinsically, in other words, not extrinsically. So I want us to focus on that, because when we see and look around and see those around us who perhaps are not, do not progress on the path or getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps this might be the reason. Are we motivated intrinsically, or is it something extrinsically that we're constantly looking at? So for the ulama, it's that zawq that they have, the closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they're in love with, closeness with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they cannot live without. So it's the whole process. We don't have to constantly look at reaching a certain goal. It's just the whole process that they're in love with, in that moment, being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loving that process, living in that process. And so when we look into their lives, we see that. This is why they're able to, just by a glance, without even uttering a word, be able to guide people, because they're exuding with this constant presence that they don't even have to say anything. That's how focused they are. SubhanAllah, it's hard to explain in words. This is why I'm going to just get to the vignette in a second here. But I just wanted to preface it by saying that this is kind of a misnomer. When we say tariqah, so we're saying tariqah, which means a path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in reality, as the Sufis say, there really is no path. There's no traveling, although we call it traveling, because we know that فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember me, and I remember you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. So what is this path then? Why do we call it traveling? And so the ulama have answered that. That is, we have made this entire distance because of the nafs, this the abyss, whatever you want to call it, this vast cave, this traveling that we have to do. For sure, we do have to do the traveling, literally, too. Sometimes we have to go and see the ulama, to be exposed to them, to live with them sometimes, to just see how it is that they interact and make portions of their day. So there is this traveling, but ultimately, we realize that there is and never was any traveling. It was just, the veil was ourselves. And so it can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can remove it in a moment. So let's look at this vignette, glance into Sidi Hashimi, who was originally Muhammad al-Hashimi. He was, rahimahullah, from Tlemcen in Algeria, migrated to Damascus, as we know, when the colonialists took over, the French colonialists took over Algeria. He and his family, some members of his family, left and migrated to Damascus. He died in the year 1961. And one of those of you who've been to Syria, his most famous student living today is Sheikh Shukri, Hafizullah. So, and we see that actually, Sidi Muhammad Hashimi, rahimahullah, his character still lives in Sheikh Shukri. What is the one thing that Sheikh Shukri is known for? Is his humility. What was the one major salient thing that was the legacy of Sidi Muhammad al-Hashimi? Was his humility. Even though he was an amazing scholar, he studied all of the sciences, and you'll find this with all of the scholars, that when we say they're a scholar, it means they studied all of the sciences, but not always did they become famous for being a scholar. And Sidi Muhammad al-Hashimi, rahimahullah, is one of those that didn't become famous for his scholarship, nor did he become famous for his miracles. And we mentioned other times others who were famous for these other things. And that's another example of why, what is it we're in Tariqa for? Some people do come into Tariqa to try to witness these miracles. And there you would find that's an example of extrinsic reason. And perhaps those people might not gain the full benefit. They might obviously still get benefit, but we want to attain the best and most benefit for ourselves. So it wasn't for that that he became famous for either, although he possessed many miracles. But rather, he became famous for his good character. As I said, most notably, his humility, his tawadu, and ma'rifa. Always they increased in their knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the best way to describe his character then is just to look at some examples. He would go, if people went in the middle of the night and knocked on his door, he would open the door. He would never be grumpy, never have anything to say but sweet words of wisdom. And in addition, no matter what time anyone appeared in the night, he was described as being like a readied soldier. No one ever saw him in sleepwear, pajamas. He was ready no matter what time people came to see him, his visitors. MashaAllah, rahimallah. So there's a couple of anecdotes I wanted to narrate to give you more a further look into his life. Once a man came from Damascus passed by him in the alleys of Damascus, and he started to attack and ridicule the sheikh and speak words vilifying him, things that were that would cause anyone to shudder, basically. The sheikh, however, rahimahullah, said absolutely nothing more to him than, "May Allah reward you with good. You've pointed out our faults. We'll leave them and adorn ourselves with good character." And you'll find that the ulama usually had these kinds of words. Sheikh al-Akbar, rahimahullah, also was known to say such words whenever someone, and he had many of those who vilified him and came to his faith and said things, because many just totally misunderstood him. So he would be vilified in the streets of Damascus as well. And these are the kinds of things, because they're taking the example from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that they would take it literally that a Muslim only gives you advice to good. So they would take the words and not have anything harsh to say back. So what would usually happen? Now, most of us would have a hard time doing such a thing. But because of what we said, they're living in that moment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exuding and just living in the love of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this doesn't catch them off guard, these things that are thrown at them. And so usually what would happen, as in this case, the man who attacked the sheikh comes back to him not too long after that, to kiss the sheikh's hands and feet and beg for his forgiveness. Because what can happen in that? There's subhanAllah. This is how they teach us that for us, someone just says a slight thing, we just become, our hair stand on end, and we're just looking for words to attack back with. But this is not their way. And in another instance, when one of his companions saw the sheikh under a great trial, and he just bore it out with this incredible patience that we talked about in the beginning with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the companion was amazed that the sheikh had this calmness and fortitude all the while during this great tribulation, and moreover having a smile on his face. And so Sidi Muhammad Hashimi, rahimahullah, he just said in response to that, knowing that his companion was astonished that he could maintain such a demeanor, he just replied back saying, "Oh Sidi, our way is the way of beauty, mashrab jamali." So just reminding his companion that there is no other way but this way, because this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, when we think about it, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, when you think about things we know, like for instance, when the hukum of alcohol, prohibition of alcohol came, and immediately they go into the streets and start breaking those bottles. Or when the ruling for the Qibla changed from Bayt al-Maqdis to the Kaaba, what happened? They instantly, in both those cases and many other cases, they instantly changed. Again, you see this, I mean, I don't think we can find in the annals of literature such immense, immense examples of love. There are no other examples. So, and it's carried on and continued by the shiuch that we have, especially in Tariqah. They exude with this type of character. So, in another example, once when the sheikh was walking down the street, there was a drunkard passing by him. And the Shaykh Rahimahullah did nothing when he saw this man, whereas most people might either avoid him or get offended and start rebuking him. But the higher level of the Sufi Shaykhs is a level of unconditional love. So he, Rahimahullah, did nothing but wipe the dust off the man's face. He prayed for him and he gave him a little bit of sincere advice, very, very gently. And again, those of you who have met Sheikh Shukri will know what I'm describing here, because this continues, this legacy continues. And of course, with our own Sheikh Muhammad, Hafizullah as well, we find this this gentility in terms of giving advice in the slightest way, so that it doesn't even seem like advice. Like they say, teach as if you taught not. I mean, those are the one teachers that are the teachers par excellence. They make it look like you're not even learning. So this is how they were. So he just, after dusting this man off, gave him a little bit of advice. And the next day, that drunkard was the first person to be in the sheikh's majlis for the dars. And this is just a couple of examples, and you find hordes of such examples with the Muhammad Hashimi and his colleagues, who we mentioned time and again. And alhamdulillah, their legacy continues, as I said, with our own teacher, with Sheikh Shukri, Hafizahumullah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue to have them as our companions and to be exposed more and more to them, inshallah. This is what I wanted to show today, and I hope, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us tawfiq in implementing even an iota of these examples that we discuss every now and then. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'ahu ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'ahu ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'ahu ahlu. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين الفاتحة